What I'd like to share with you this afternoon, if I could put a topic to this, it's this: comfort ye with these words.
Yes.
So there's some kind of words in the scripture that was intended to be a comfort to us. Here's where it's found. It's in 2 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter. It's talking to us about there's going to be something that should be comforting to us. It says that those that have died, we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. This tells us that the coming of the Lord, our anticipation that the Lord's coming again, should be comforting to us. It tells us on down in here, 16th verse of the 4th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that should be comforting to us.
Amen.
Have you thought how much out of this week's minutes have you thought about the coming of the Lord? You know, I don't. My week is consumed. And maybe I'll spend some time reading the scripture, but it's for my encouragement right now, for something to help me right now. But you know, the Lord is intended for there to be something that is a comfort to us.
Yeah.
The anticipation that one day, you know, I have heard it all my life. And over in, when we go to 2 Peter, there are some other folks that said they heard it all their life.
Yeah.
2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, says there's going to be some scoffers in the 3rd verse, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, these scriptures were given over 2,000 years ago. But it says it's going to happen. And I want to look toward it with anticipation. How do I do that? It's by keeping everything ready, everything clear, all the time. Because this one gives us a little information in 2 Peter 3. Here's what's going to happen in the 10th verse. Well, the 9th verse, it tells, you know, there's going to be these people that say, we've been hearing this all our life. I have too. But it says it's going to come. It says in the 9th verse, here's why it hasn't come yet. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. But then it says, the day of the Lord will come. It is coming. And for me to look at that, the 11th verse says, if I really believe it's going to happen, seeing then that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person ought I to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day? And maybe throughout my life, and it hasn't happened yet. Look at that 12th verse, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Lord. I saw another verse in the Bible that talked about somebody that hasted. Remember who that was? It was David, when he was facing a big old giant. And it said he hasted toward him. Now, you know, I would have, just natural circumstances, I'd hasted. But it had been the other direction. But instead, he saw God was right there with him, and he hasted toward the battle. This one right here, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of the Lord. We're heading toward it still. You know, and probably I ought to spend more time thinking about it, because it could very well be running parallel to the evils that are in the world today. There is a day when God is going to be fed up. And this will be dissolved. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. You know, it's really even kind of hard to believe that that can happen. That this world one day will be burned up and we'll all be out in eternity. And I'll tell you, probably one reason that I haven't been thinking much about it, I'm starting to see people dying at all different ages and realizing that, you know what, the day of the Lord has come for them and my day of the Lord is coming. I may not see all these things happen, but I tell you, I need to anticipate it and I need to adjust my life by it. Say, I was reading a commentary about it. The true Christian doesn't dread the coming of this day.
Yes.
That would be something to not see it as a dread. I've got everything clear between me and the Lord should it happen. Said he looks forward to it as a period of his redemption. There's a little verse of a song that we sing. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise. Sees the everlasting rise and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You know, when we come to service, every service, a part of our service is, does anyone have a prayer request? You got a need or somebody else have a need, let's pray for those needs. You know what this song is saying? There'll be one day that we will say goodbye,
yes.
Prayer time. We're through with praying for anything. From here on out, it'll only be praise.
Yes.
There'll be no more requests. We read those verses that says there'll be no tears. No pain.
Yes.
Look at people going through a lot of pain. Lord, we need to have an anticipation.
Yes.
There's something out ahead for us. And it may not have to wait until the coming of the Lord. I tell you, I wish Brother Philip could come back. Because I think he had a little foretaste of heaven. If you will remember at the Guthrie meeting, there were some nights when he would get up to take prayer requests and there had been songs about heaven and all. And it was just almost like he was about to step a foot into it and then step back. And he just had some anticipation. Little did he know, or us, that he was so close to going. But there's something that I've got to do. There's some preparing that I have to do. It's going to take more than me just thinking about heaven and I want to go there. There was a man's prayer that I have thought of a lot since then. His prayer was, Lord, send your word on any line. If I'm not there, I'll get there. What's the value of that? Because I'm still over on this side of eternity, preparing for that time. And so I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I'll tell you what, send things to me. Because I do believe one day this earth, this world is going to come to an end. Maybe I won't be here when it happens. Maybe we all will be. Want to be ready. And that's why we will pray the prayer of Psalms 139, 23 and 24. I need to continually send this prayer up to the Lord. Search me, O God.
Yes.
Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. And you know what? I could say today, there's no wicked way in me. But you know what? The Lord can see when something just starts to drift a little bit. It's not even called wicked. It may be just negligence at that time. But what I'm doing is I'm sending this prayer to him because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. Adjust me in the way that should you be coming next week and all things are closed out, I don't want to have anything in the way. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. There is a verse over in Proverbs. Proverbs in the 4th chapter. There's some instruction given to people, just general instruction. 4 and 14. I think about this as be good instruction for some young people. Enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. But here's the one that I like in the 18th verse. The path of the just is as the shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day. What's the perfect day? The day when I get called out of here to meet the Lord and have everything clear between me and Him. You know, to be comforted with the thought of heaven, kind of looking at it like retirement, I need to have put some deposits over there. It's the same way with me now at the age I am. You know, retirement won't look very well if back through the years I have not been making some deposits in something that's going to give me a return now. We're talking about spiritual things. For me to be able to make some deposits over there, it helps my mind to start going there more. You know, if I spent a lot of time in putting money in the stock market and looking for retirement, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend some time checking on it, seeing how it's doing. Maybe put some more in there. Well, I want to be able to do that same thing here. I want to look at Colossians, because this has a little word here. Colossians, the third chapter, has a little word, if. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, if I will do some soul searching, I could turn this around and say, Dan, where has your interest been? This says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And right here is where we come into a place to try to balance life. Because you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to go back to work. We've got houses, we've got land, we've got cars, we've got things that take upkeep and our mind to be on it. But I tell you, I think there's a balance for us. That while I have all these things, I don't let my heart get set on it. And I think to do that is I need to look at every material thing that I have, which is a blessing from the Lord. And to realize this is going up in smoke one day. It will have no value to it one day. And you know what? If the end does not come before my end does, if my end comes first, it might as well have gone up in smoke as far as how much it's going to have value for me. I've noticed something when people come down close to the end of their life. Material things mean nothing. It was that way with Dad. Dad loved to work on small engines. Lawnmower, somebody bring him a lawnmower he'll work on. He's got parts. He's got all kind of things to be able to repair them. He had a love for that kind of thing. But you know what? I noticed something. When he started coming down to the place that he's about to die, you could come out there with a dumpster and throw it all in it and haul it off to the dump. And it wouldn't have bothered him at all, because his heart's no longer there. And I'm not saying that it's wrong when your heart is there, but I think we come into a place where we have to do a real careful examination. And I think that's where that verse says, search me, O Lord. Know my heart, my thoughts. Check it out, Lord, and let me know if I'm getting too attached to earthly things. Too attached to the point that the very thought of this burning up and being gone after I've worked so hard for it is not one of those comforting thoughts. I say, Lord, help me. He gave us all these things to enjoy. You know, I don't think he wants us to live down here in misery saying, I can't stand living here. I want out of here and go to heaven. I think he wants us to tell him, Lord, I thank you for every temporal blessing you have given me. You know, living in America, the poorest of people live better than many people do in other countries. We're blessed. We have really been blessed. And I think God wants us to just return to Him with thanksgiving for those blessings. But it just gives us little flags of warning. If your riches increase, don't set your heart on them, because riches have a way of taking wings and flying away. There have been people that have let their heart get attached to money and making money, to the part that it became a part of who they were. And then it all was dissolved. You know, our wonderful system we have in America could be gone overnight. That's why we're warned. Don't put your heart on it. I love the example that Job gave us. He said he was the wealthiest man of the East. And yet he could say when everything was gone, the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't have his heart set on it. And I think that's real important for us, for me. Where has my mind been? There's a verse that I want us to look at. It says Matthew 6 and 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these things don't happen. Because then it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where my treasure is, that's where my thoughts go. Can I have both? Can I have some temporal blessings from the Lord, and yet that's not where my heart is set? I think there's a fine balance of where my heart is set. And I think God is able to recognize where that balance is. And I think he wants to help us with it. I don't think he says the Christians need to have no money. They need to be so poor that all their affections are set to me. I think it's even more valuable to him when I have some temporal blessings, and yet I realize my need of him. What is my life and breath are in thy hands, my joys and all I know. I live and breathe at thy command. So I'm going to come back to the Lord and tell him thanks for the things that he's given to me. In Matthew 12 and 34. It says at the very end of that 34th verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you know, I think we could also add to that, and it wouldn't do it injustice. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mind thinketh. The abundance of my heart. We have talked before here about if my thoughts were put in folders. Last week, we were talking about praise. How big would the folder be of the praise that I bring back to the Lord? That's how easy is my mind able to shift to praise. Well, what about today? How large is the folder? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Where is my heart with temporal things compared to the thoughts of this could come to an end? Yes. And I want to be like Job. What did he say? The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had it in the right place. For me to enter heaven, it's going to take more than just a lot of thoughts about wanting to go there. We live in a time where nobody misses it, hardly. If you looked in the obituaries, they will say, gone to be with the Lord. And maybe he died in a drinking party. Everybody goes to heaven anymore in the world we live in. But you know what I need in this folder about heaven? I need to have some things put in there. Some things that come to my mind when I look into that folder. You know what, everybody, it's really nice to think about heaven, and we all want to go there. You know, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That's just a simple little verse, but I need to have it in my folder. Sin will never enter there. So I can think about heaven all I want to. But for me to be able to make it, I'm going to have to go it his way. There's another verse that says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I want to have a big folder about heaven. But I want to have it backed with things that will really help me to be able to make it there. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, it tells about a man that jumped over the wall instead of coming through the gate. And Christian met up with him and they walked along and they were talking. And Christian said, "Do you have the certificate that was given back there?"
"Yes."
"Oh, no, I don't need it." "Well, what's your expectation of making heaven?" He said, "I spend a lot of time thinking about it." He said, "It's in my thoughts all the time about how good heaven's going to be." Well, you know what? It was going to take more than that for him to make it. Because it follows all the way through with that story. And it says a Christian met up with Ignorant at the gate. And it says Ignorant was ahead of him at the gate asking for admittance. And they said, "Where is the certificate?" And he didn't have one. You know how that story closes up? Said right next to the gate of heaven was a door that led to hell. And he was taken from so close to in his mind of heaven and taken to hell. You know, these are serious thoughts for me. I can look out at the world and see big gaps. But you know what? I want to be real careful, because I can say I am on my way to heaven. And the Lord would like to knock at my heart's door and say, "There's some things that you need to adjust to be able to guarantee the success of that. If you love me, keep my commandments." When we would make plans to go to a trip like Germany, you know, we'd spend some time thinking about it, packing that we need to do, all those things. Do you know it didn't matter how much thinking I did about it if my passport had expired? I could tell them I want to go. I tell them there's people waiting for me. And it doesn't matter if my passport's expired. I believe that's the same way for us today. I can think about heaven. I can say after this message right here, I'm going to spend a lot more time thinking about heaven, putting those thoughts over in folders. We take a look at Paul. He had a vision of heaven. I'll tell you what, it'd be so nice to have a vision of heaven like his. You know how that vision came to him? He said, "I don't even know myself if I was in the body or out of the body." You know where I thought that might have come from? Just after that last stone hit him and they thought he's dead, sure enough. And he doesn't know if I was alive or dead, but this vision came to him. But you know what? I believe that vision of heaven sustained him through everything else that came to his life. You know, he came to a place where he said, "I prayed 3 times that it would be taken away." And what the Lord told him was, "I've got grace sufficient for you." And he said, "Most gladly, therefore." So there are so many lessons for us. I need to get a vision of heaven. One that helps me to make choices in my life that I will not trade this for it. Over in Hebrews. In Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Clear back there to Moses. He made some choices. 11 and 24. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ." Now, what did he know about the reproach of Christ way back there? "Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Somehow he had some picture that was bigger than all the things that were offered to him in this world, and he forsook it. Well, there's a song that has been sung before. It says, "I would never miss seeing Jesus. I would never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. I would never trade forever for a few days down here." I would never miss heaven for the world. And in that next verse it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to turn away from all these things that could cause me to miss it. And I'm going to put my sight on heaven. Paul, at the end of his life, He said, I've fought a good fight.
Yes.
I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. And he said, it's not for me only. But for all of those who love his appearing. You know, loving his appearing is more than just, I got some desires, I'd like to see that.
Yes.
It means every day making right choices to where I will be acceptable before him. Matthew 6. Seek ye first. I believe this is very valuable for us today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to it.
Yes.
If your riches increase, don't set your heart on it. I remember a testimony of it that an old farmer had. He said that he, in a vision one night, he dreamed that he had died and started ascending to heaven. You know, that'd be one glorious experience. I'm heading home. He said he went up just so high, and all of a sudden he stopped. Something's got him stuck. And he's wondering, what is the problem? And he said he looked down, and there's a rope tied from him to his farm. What is that? That's in these thoughts and desires. And you know how attached we can become. And I don't want to find I got a rope attached to something temporal when it really happens. Because it could be that that's just a blessing from the Lord to tell him, cut loose of some things. Does that mean he's got to go sell it all? No, it just means he don't let your heart be set there. For us to be able to go through life, I'm going to have to have a category in my mind that I often think about. This could be the week of the coming of the Lord. When everything that people consider valuable, things that I consider valuable, will be burned up. And I will stand before the Lord to be judged. And when I look at Revelations, that little portion there that tells me they stood before the great white throne and they were judged there. At that point, whatever I had in life temporally made no difference. Should I die before the end of all things, I leave everything behind. It's amazing to me. I work downtown Oklahoma City, and there are people that come walking through there that have nothing. They're just begging for something to eat for the next meal. You know what? When the wealthiest man in the world dies, he's on the same level with that man. He left it all behind just like that man would. There's a time when we will all be equal in that part. That's why I need to be real, real careful. When my riches increase, don't let my heart get set on it. Realize one thing is it could be gone from me. I read stories about the Great Depression. People were wealthy one day and broke the next day. And then you could see where their heart was. There were some that could take it just like Job. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. The Lord can give it again if he wants to. And those people that get back up, start working again. There were some people that their heart was set on it, and now it's gone, and they commit suicide. They're gone out of here because their heart was in the wrong place. I look at the story about the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And you know, I could relate to him. Because why would you work if you're not going to work hard to be successful? There was nothing wrong with him working hard to be successful. It's what he did with it and what he thought in his mind once he did it. Because when he started talking to his soul and said, soul, you have much good laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's where it parted ways, to where God said, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And then whose will all these things be that you have? And that story started with a verse that said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. In other words, there is something of much more value than the temporal things that I have. And that value is my relationship with the Lord. And for him to be able to visit with me and tell me, hey, Dan, I tell you what, if I came tomorrow, there's some things that you need to adjust. You know what? That's the mercy of the Lord to be able to do that. And it's really going to be good for me to be sensitive to that voice and make the adjustments needed. Because along with this ground of a certain rich man, and when he gets the news this night, your soul is going to be required of you. You know, he had not told anybody about his plans. He had not been boasting them. It said he thought within himself. Here's the thing about God. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. You know, some things to me I would never tell to anybody. But you know what? God knows what I'm thinking. And I need to realize he will judge my thoughts. So that's why this prayer says, search me, O God. Know my heart, but also know my thoughts. Lord, check them out and let me know if there's any adjustments that need to be made. There was somebody else in the Bible that was told it's quickly coming to an end for you. It's when Jesus said the last verses in the Bible to John, surely I come quickly. If I were told that right now, would I say, hold on, Lord, just a minute. I've got some things I need to take care of. John didn't do that. Just as quick as Jesus had said it, John came back and said, even so come, Lord Jesus. That is success. To have lived my life every day as if that time is coming. Realizing that, you know what, every person that has lived since this 2 Peter 3 was written, the day of the Lord has come for the majority of them. It's just maybe someone in the last 100 years that might still be alive. Other than that, there's no difference if the end of all things had come, because their end had come. I want to walk with a carefulness. What I would like to have is the testimony that John had. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because this has made me realize the value of an extended illness. I used to think, you know, it's terrible that some people, you know, Brother Philip, he was gone in an instant. You know what? That's a wonderful thing if everything is clear between you and the Lord. And I believe it was with him. But I think of what the value of an extended illness is, because I've watched it with Dad for months. He knew my end is coming. And I would hear him at night turn his little buggy on. He's moving around. He couldn't lay in the bed. Had congestive heart failure. I'd hear that little buggy click. And I'd walk in there and ask him, what's the matter? 4 o'clock in the morning, you're not able to sleep. He said, I'm just making sure.
Yes.
Lord, how about it? Is there anything that I have forgotten? And I don't think we have to live this thing in fear. What it's called is a carefulness.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not willing to accept anything as right that you do not consider right. Because I will stand before you one day. That's where, when it comes down to my thoughts and intents, God judges them. What I'm very thankful for is his mercy. We read it back in 2 Peter 3. He's the reason that it hasn't come to an end today. He's not willing that anybody would perish. You know what? That includes me. He is not willing that I would die thinking everything is all right when there's something that needs to be adjusted. I'm thankful for that. You know, Paul came to a place in his life, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And you know, he had had a lot of things. If you read his list, you'd probably be willing to die too. How many times he was stoned, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten with rods. And he came to the place where he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Yep. To go be with the Lord is what I'd sure like to have. But you know what he said? I already know what the Lord's answer is. I'm going to be here with y'all longer. And he was satisfied with that, willing for the Lord to do whatever he wanted. Scripture tells us there were some folks that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And they are looking for another country. And they're not willing to say, okay, I haven't gotten there in all these years, so I'm going to just settle down here. There's another story over in Pilgrim's Progress. You know, sometimes we would think that a path that veers off and takes you through Vanity Fair happened to be a choice of your own. It wasn't with them. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, the pathway to heaven took them through this city, a wicked city. To be able to test them. Can I still stay true when I'm in the middle of this battle? And they were able to stay faithful. We're going to be called on to be faithful in this time that we're living in. They declared plainly, I'm seeking another country. You know what? My desires, my thoughts, I can be able to check and see just how much am I really serious that I'm seeking another country. I want my life to be able to prove it. So how big is my mental folder of heaven? With the thought that the day of the Lord could come at any time. And how does it affect me? You know, I don't think he ever planned for it to cause me to say, I can't stand living here anymore. I wish I could go tomorrow. I think he's even more pleased for me to say, Lord, I love what you have allowed us to have in America. But I won't let my heart get set on it. I can turn it loose at any time. I believe that pleases him. In my folder, in my mental folder, I need to have some verses in it. One of them says, every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we heard about the mark of Christ this morning. I want to be more like Christ in my life. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself just like Christ himself was pure. You know what? It's all right to put in my mental folder some songs also. One of them would be, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. It will stop you at the door. You don't think if I would really have that in my mind, it wouldn't be a help to me when the devil comes along with a temptation? It will stop you at the door and it will bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. But there's also some other songs. Out on the hills of that wonderful country. Happy, contented, and free. One of those verses says, loved ones are watching and waiting my coming. Yes. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for this world and its sorrows when in that land or the sea? I look at those things and say, Lord, help me to get more of my mind turned toward heavenly things. I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I would never miss heaven for the world. Whatever has the name of the world tagged to it, it can be just in my thoughts. It doesn't even have to be an action. I see it now with a man that had success. And he just talked within himself. And the Lord came along and said, this night, your soul will be required of you. I want to walk with a carefulness. What did the verse say? Comfort one another with these words. They will be a comfort to us if I'll just keep everything clear at all times. I desire your prayers.